In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Can we have the picture, Peter?
Thank you.
So we have the three wise men worshipping in the manger at baby Jesus. What's the backstory to this? Well, if anyone remembers the carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are, tells you a little bit about the backstory, doesn't it? I used to love that as a kid. I used to sing it quite loudly, much to my mum and dad's disgust because I can't sing. That's where we get the image of three kings. We don't know how many because their names weren't mentioned apart from in the carol and tradition. But the three come from the number of gifts they bring, the gold, the frankincense and myrrh. So makes sense, but it doesn't matter how many. The fact is that these Gentiles travelled all that way to worship the baby Jesus because they knew he was the king. I also like that carol because it makes me laugh at childhood memories of I used to think I knew where the kings were from. Not the Orient, but Orient Are. I used to think that was a place because I blended it together, as you do when you sing it, We Three Kings of Orient Are. So I thought, okay, and I tried to even look that up in an atlas and couldn't find it. So they came from Persia that way, that far away, to worship. They were probably astrologers. They followed the stars, and that's why they had no difficulty following that bright star over Bethlehem. They followed the star to where Jesus was. But first they stop off at the place where King Herod was to inquire of him. They'd done all that long journey and they get to King Herod. There's a huge contrast between them and King Herod. So the contrast, they come to worship all of those many miles away, and he wants to go and worship, but he doesn't really. He's tricking them, and they know that from a dream that they have revealed by God. To save Jesus, they actually don't go back. They go back a different way. So Herod, we've got to understand a little bit about Herod, why he was like he was. He was a different kind of king. He was known as a clever negotiator. He generally found it more convenient to get rid of anyone in his way, including many of his family. So he had a reputation for that. The local Jewish people didn't really like Herod, like many in Rome did, because his grand building projects came at the expense of their tax bills. From their perspective, his family history was questionable. Herod's father was from Idumea, which was a Gentile, non-Jewish region, who converted to Judaism later, along with his mother, who was a princess from Petra, another Gentile region. So whilst Herod was installed as king of the Jews in Judea, he wasn't Jewish by birth. He was seen as a usurper to the throne at the time. And because of this, Herod always had an eye out, watching for a rebellion. And it's no wonder that he panicked when the Magi from the east appeared in Jerusalem, asking after a man born king of the Jews. He felt threatened, and that's why. We also have a contrast between Herod's kingship and that of Jesus. Herod's kingship is one inaugurated by Rome, an alien power based on aggression and cruelty. The other originates from love, shown in vulnerability and entering into its kingdom through the cross. Herod was 33 at the time of his inauguration, and it's interesting that Jesus was 33 when he died, so that similarity in age. But Jesus gave up his kingship, gave up his life on earth for us. Of course, he's reigning as king now in heaven. There's also a contrasting response to Jesus. So the Magi followed that star, and they must have travelled a long, long way to get to Bethlehem, and wanted to give him presents and gifts, and wanted to worship at his feet. And you can see the gifts and the worship going on there. Herod's response was hatred. Hatred of anything and anyone that threatened his self-centeredness and his fear of a possible rival. But then you have the chief priests and scribes. Often they're glossed over a bit. But in this gospel reading today, they knew their scriptures and they had no problem in answering Herod when he asked, do they know where the child would be born? They quoted Micah from the Old Testament, Micah 5 verse 2, he would be born in Bethlehem. But did they go to greet him? Not at all. So the chief priests and the scribes didn't pay any attention to that prophecy, even though that's what they quoted. And it was only 10 kilometres to Bethlehem from there, so it wasn't a very difficult trip. The wise men had already done their big journey. They did nothing. But the wise men came and found the child with his mother Mary and gave him their offerings. And of course, we've got the wise men to blame for the idea of gifts at Christmas, don't we? We all hate Christmas shopping. Who started it off? The wise men. But they gave special gifts, not one that you'd usually give to a baby. So when I've been to baby showers and first birthday parties, you actually take nappies and onesies and cuddly toys. What did they bring? Gold, the gift fit for a king. And they saw the king in baby clothes there. They gave frankincense, which was in constant use by the priests. Today we tend to know that as incense. And they gave it to the ultimate priest, the one who was to make final reconciliation between God and humankind. And then myrrh, used for embalming. Bit of an unusual present to give a baby, but that was the prediction that he would die for us, the man who was born to die, to give his life for us. In these three gifts, the commentator says, we see who Jesus is, what he can do, and what it cost him. And like the wise men, we bow in wonder before a God who could love us that much. So what I want to leave you with the thought is, this Epiphany, how are we going to worship God? At today, but at homes and in our lives, how are we going to honour the Lord and Saviour, Emmanuel, God is with us? And what gifts are we going to bring? It won't be gold, frankincense or myrrh, but what gifts can we bring to Jesus? And one of my other favourite, it's not really a carol, but it sort of fits on the boundary, is A Little Drummer Boy. I've always loved that one, mainly because I'm a frustrated drummer and I love the drum beat in it. But the story behind it is beautiful. The little drummer boy wants to give a gift but doesn't know what to give. He hasn't got anything to give. So he plays his drums for Jesus and he plays his best for him, it says. And that just sums it up. Doing what we are gifted to do and doing it to the best of our ability. So have a little bit of time of reflection before we have our healing part of the service on our worship before God and the gifts that we can bring as we celebrate Epiphany.